Feza.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Hi, and... Simu Lu.
Oh my gosh.
In case you're listening, in case you subscribed.
Yeah, hi, Simu. I don't know if you're listening past that one episode, if you even listened to the Shang-Chi episode.
Until you prove me wrong, I think you have. Anyways, inside joke, we can move on past that.
You want to know more, just go to Lily's Twitter. But you have to look for it. this week we're talking, we're recording this on a Thursday night before the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But when this comes out, the Oscars will have passed, and one Miss Angela Bassett will either have won or lost. Not lost, but like either have received or not received an Oscar for playing Queen Ramonda in Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Which is the first Oscar nomination for anyone in the MCU?
I think so.
Because I know the movies have been up for like effects and maybe sound, and I don't know the others for sure, but like
Black Panther was up for a lot and was up for like best movie, costume, like, stuff like that.
But I don't remember.
I don't think we've ever gotten an acting nom. Yeah. No.
Okay, so I have another question for you because I'm incredibly old. Where did Angela Bassett did the thing come from, and why is it, what is it? It's just a meme. Is it just a run-of-the-mill meme?
One of the award shows, hold on. I don't know what award show it was, like the SAG or BAFTA, maybe, I don't know. So Ariana DeBose literally, like, had this whole song and dance thing, and it was really corny, like it was bad.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things she said was Angela Bassett did the thing, like she sang that.
Right.
And even everybody in the crowd watching her was like, oh my god. And it just like it wasn't vibing with anybody, and people just latched on to Angela Bassett did the thing. That's where that came from.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I saw her, like, accept an award, and she said it herself. Or she was on stage. She must have accepted an award. And I was wondering. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was that. I'm personally very excited. At this moment, I believe that she's going to win. And I don't care how delusional that makes me. I love her, and I loved her performance. I was really looking at all the other people. Like, the only other person I would maybe want to win in that category is, like, Stephanie Hsu.
Right. Who else is nommed in supporting actress?
Someone from Banshees of Inisherin is nominated.
Right. That's supposed to be the dark horse of the Academy of the
winners, right? Well, I've seen people that think that, like, she's going to win. The Banshees of Inisherin actress is going to win. So I don't know. But and there's, like, a couple of other people. I don't know who they were. I can't remember. But I'm just really rooting for Angela Bassett because, like,
yeah,
man, that performance was, speechless. It's like, thinking back on Wakanda Forever, like, really one of the things that is so memorable about her performance, about the entire movie, is her performance.
Right. I mean, even the moment she enters, right, in the French UN.
Oh, my God, yes.
I think that was the general UN. But the moment she enters that building, you're like, the tone shift, the vibe shift. I think we talked about it then of just like, that is a director who loves that woman.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah. No, we definitely talked about it in Wakanda Forever. And I mean, even in Black Panther, like, she is so, like, powerful in that as well. So I really do hope that she wins for it. I think it'd be really incredible to have, like, this isn't the first time someone in a comic book film won an acting award, or was nominated, but this is the first, like, MCU one. So I'm interested. I'm excited. I hope she wins. But
I hope she does too.
In the vein,
I saw
of...
the other thing because. Oh, I was gonna say I saw a, just like a quick thing, going around because all of the top, front runners are, and I don't think this applies to Angela Bassett or Michelle Yeoh, honestly, but like it's career comebacks. Like the front runners are all older actors who have been in the industry for a very long time, and at least in Ki Hui and. I just said his name. Brandon Fraser,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a comeback career for them, and they're having this moment for them in the industry, so that's very exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the front, yeah. Yeah. That's accurate, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I'm really hoping Angela Bassett wins.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Yeah, same. Be nice.
I think she deserves it. Not that all the other actors don't deserve it, but like damn, this is a Marvel pocket. We're gonna root for the Marvel people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's also one of the only few movies that I've watched that are nominated for the Oscars. So that's how I feel about it. And but all of this, like, thinking about Angela Bassett being nominated and like mm-hmm. Black Panther being nominated before that, we were thinking about what elevates certain movies to cinema and which comic book movies have come out that we believe are elevated to cinema. And we've talked about some of those movies before.
Right.
And, you know, Wakanda Forever does feel like one of those movies that gets elevated to, mm-hmm. to cinema, much like Black Panther did. And right. I really want to go on record and say it's not because... is like one of the diverse movies that it's yeah. gotten elevated to cinema, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the same thing for like Shang-Chi. I wouldn't, like, it's
right.
Shang-Chi's a great movie. Oh, freaking fantastic movie. I love that mm-hmm. movie. It's not cinema.
No, it's very much part of the Marvel franchise and this machine. And we've talked a lot about before of when people who criticize the MCU and they get, like, not so much the fatigue, but they criticize and they look down on the MCU because it's comic book movies, or they hold it a standard.
Wait, have you been seeing the discourse right now?
No.
I saw a tweet that was going around today that was like, oh, poor Chris Evans, he was, like, really taken out of his prime and only, like, been given, like, after he became Captain America, like, man, he got typecast as being this specific kind of person. Da, 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 da. And I was like, are you talking about the same Chris Evans? Because the Chris Evans that I knew before, I mean, I didn't even know him before Captain America. Mm-hmm. But the stuff he was doing before Captain America was like bro-y. He was like the bro-y,
yeah.
Male rom-com-y mm-hmm. guy. And, like, that's not a bad thing, but, like, he wasn't doing anything crazy mm-hmm. big. Also, he was in another Marvel franchise movie before yeah. Captain America. It wasn't like he was so anti-doing that. Like, he literally was in Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Captain America, and then immediately did Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, becoming the... Captain America becoming such a huge name gave him so many opportunities.
There's just especially
in the beginning, I think. Well, yeah, I'll revise that. But like sometimes, like in Benedict Cumberbatch's case, really big actors get cast into these roles, so they add like star power to a movie. But for a lot mm-hmm. of other actors, this is a huge deal, and they get opportunities off of it.
Yeah, and I think, like, someone was recently cast in one of the Marvel movies. I don't remember who it was, but they were like, I saw someone react to me like, oh no, they got their talons into this one too. And it's like, you realize that these actors who are relatively, like, famous mm-hmm. or are famous and choosing to join, they are choosing to join the MCU. Do you yeah. think... do you think that Angelina Jolie,
mm-hmm,
like, didn't have a choice in being Eternal?
Right.
In Eternals? Like, do you think that these huge stars who have chosen to join, like, Harrison Ford is going to be in Marvel now playing Agent Ross. Do you think that, like, he didn't choose? That man has been doing franchises.
Yeah, he's like, also sick of them. He is very famously sick of Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, he loves Indiana Jones. He hates Star Wars.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that, like, I think that, like, I saw someone else responding being like, I don't know, all of the MCU actors seem like they're having a lot of fun. Like, it just seems like, mm-hmm, a really good paycheck and a fun time.
Like, yeah, and not gonna lie, yeah, if someone would be like, oh, this person joined the MCU, they're such a sellout. Like, you know what? Probably, I'm not gonna hold that against them. I, too, would sign to the MCU so fast to have that much money in my life.
Do you realize how much money you rake in when you join the cast? It's insane.
And that kind of money in a career like that offers a lot of stability. And, like, legacy's not the word.
It allows you to pivot to be the kind of unhinged insane that, mm-hmm, Daniel Radcliffe, Robert Pattinson, and Elijah Wood get to do.
Yeah. And once, like, yeah, you are contracted for who knows how long, probably a while, and that is going to be very much a limit on your career for a little bit. But it's like, it's a nice limit. Like, it's a good, it sounds like a nice deal.
Yeah.
I would love to be in the MCU.
Same.
So much money.
It's ridiculous. I didn't mean to derail the thing that you were saying.
We've talked about before that people hold the MCU to a very high standard sometimes. Yes, people who look down on it simultaneously hold it to a very high standard. And we've talked before about whenever you go to see a franchise movie, be it the MCU, Star Wars, just, you know, the kind of, like, mainstream franchises that have come to define a lot of pop culture, thank you to Disney, who owns them all, you know what you're signing up for. I know when I went to go see Shang-Chi or Endgame or even Black Panther, my expectations were tempered because I was like, I know this is a Marvel movie. I've seen three of them. I know what we're getting into. And that's what makes the superhero movie so surprising. Not so surprising. That's the bar. That's the operational standard you're at. And so when a movie can rise above that, the way Black Panther ended up doing and surpassing my expectations, like, breaking not only through the MCU formula, but breaking through, like, the franchise barrier, that's what we're, mm-hmm, talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in the MCU, the only movies that I really truly think break that barrier are Black Panther and Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and that goes, mm-hmm, completely to the cast who, mm-hmm, are doing the work and making those performances, like, so unforgettable, and, mm-hmm, Ryan Coogler, who as a writer and director on both of these projects put so much thought and, like, so much of his, like, creative energy into it, mm-hmm, to elevate it to another level where, like, it is still distinctly a Marvel film because, mm-hmm, it is Marvel characters. There are people that we know that we've seen before. These characters have interacted outside of these movies.
Right. They, and they also, they have, like, universe. They have superpowers. They have, they operate within, like, this is a battle of good and evil. Like, we get it.
But I think thinking about all of the movies that I consider as elevated from the genre, I guess, as like, not even elevated, but like what the genre should be striving for.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about what all of them have in common, I think it's that they are genuinely either really trying to say something, or, mm-hmm, it doesn't matter, like, who the characters are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that it was a Black Panther movie, it was a Batman movie, that it was a like a Wolverine movie. It doesn't, mm-hmm, matter, because had you swapped out the property, the mm-hmm. What's that word? What's the word that I'm trying to think about? I'm trying to say. The
no idea.
The IP.
Oh, right.
If you swap out the IP for something else, mm-hmm. and you're still telling that story, and it would still be completely compelling
mm-hmm.
as is, I think that's what really elevates it.
Right, right. And I think, you know, to be fair, a lot of people who work and write in these franchise movies, they just want to make a really good MCU. They want to make a really good Star Wars movie. Like, that is, they understand their what they want to do. And I think when Ryan Coogler set out, he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted mm-hmm. to make a very good MCU movie, and he also really wanted to make something that meant more.
Yeah. And I think so
that's what he did.
I also think it's like about the themes, right? So mm-hmm. we're focusing on Black Panther. Mm-hmm. The first and second movie, I feel like, have big themes of legacy.
Right.
Of what your legacy is. And mm-hmm. it's not an afterthought. It's not secondary to the action. That is the driving force of the movie, is T'Challa mm-hmm. thinking about his legacy, his father's legacy, what his cousin's legacy would have been if he stayed mm-hmm. on the throne. I think because the driving factor of all of these characters is so emotional, like mm-hmm. we're not it's like, it is a Marvel movie, there's superpowers involved, but if you got rid of the superpowers and it was just like a film about a guy trying to live up to his father's expectations, but then right. realizing that his father was deeply fallible, flawed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, his cousin is coming in and trying to steal everything from him. Mm-hmm. Like, that, when you strip all of the extras away from mm-hmm. Black Panther, there is still a movie about a man trying to create something out of a flawed legacy that he inherited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second movie is much the same. It's Shuri, right. like, trying, not, I mean, maybe not necessarily legacy for Shuri, like, she's not thinking about her own legacy,
right?
But she is thinking about her grief,
right?
Grief is the thing that, like, drives through
mm-hmm.
the second movie, and there right. are so many callbacks to the first one as right. well. Like, the first movie is about a father and his son, and the second movie is about a daughter and her mother. Mm-hmm. Like, the themes of family from the first movie are still in this yeah. second movie. I think
mm-hmm.
I think that, like, the question of being consumed by vengeance
mm-hmm.
Is there again, even though that's something we saw with T'Challa in Civil War, not in Black Panther, but
mm-hmm.
I think that, like, when you strip away again the like extras, the frills of Wakanda Forever,
right.
you are left with a story about a girl grieving her brother, mm-hmm. grieving her mother,
who's lost everything, lost her family, lost her country, her home,
and is just left with the remains, mm-hmm. and is trying to pick herself up again, and also dealing with this guy who mm-hmm. for some reason wants to kill her.
Right.
So I think, like, when you can strip away at these movies and say, this isn't a superhero movie, this is a movie about grief.
Yeah.
This is a movie about legacy. This is a movie about family. This is a movie about this.
Right.
That's when you're thinking, like, this is cinema. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is storytelling.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. So I have two questions, but I think we should get into... I have one question, but I think we should get into the other movies you wanted to talk mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. So The other two movies that really do come to mind when I'm thinking of elevated genre movies,
right,
are Logan and the Pattinson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't call it anything else. It's the Batman. It's Pattinson. Like Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do, again, with the fact that the themes of those movies, when, well, I guess with the Batman, I was genuinely saying things when I was talking about Black Panther, and I was like, does that really relate to Batman? Like, in the back of my mind.
Right.
I was like, does that really relate to the Batman?
Right.
Yeah, so I think that is the case with Pattinson, is that, like, it is elevated to cinema, because ultimately it is a movie about a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Also not really dealing with his grief.
Yeah.
And choosing to go about it in the bad most insane way. What I will say about the Batman, is that I feel like you can't separate the Batman from being Batman. Like, it is a Batman movie.
Yeah, everything about its style, its tone, and the way the characters act and interact, it's very important that this is a Batman movie.
But despite being a Batman movie,
mm-hmm.
it is freaking cinema. Like, it is shot in such a way, like, they really took so many creative liberties with the Batman. Mm-hmm. And to take a film, to take a character and be like, we're gonna do a noir.
Right. The way it should be done.
We're gonna make this, like, the best damn detective movie you've ever seen. Like, and there is, like, a strong emotional through line for this movie, because you're seeing Bruce, and I honestly don't even want to call him Bruce, because at this point, this is like year two Batman, or year three Batman, and he's not Bruce Wayne. He doesn't want to be Bruce Wayne.
Right.
But we are still seeing him deal with the grief of his parents' death. Right. We are seeing his relationship to Alfred, his budding relationship to Selina, how he interacts with the world, and how his mentality of his whole thing is like, I am vengeance, right? In the movie. And the growth that happens in him, and the realization of his legacy being flawed, and that he was actually doing more harm than good because of his rigid thinking, and his messaging. That, like, the growth that he has in that movie just, I think, elevates it.
Right.
That it's not just, oh, I am Batman and I'm gonna beat people up.
Right, like, yeah.
It's, I am Batman and I've made a mistake.
Right, yeah. Where, I mean, the categories, they're not arbitrary, but, like, you know what I mean. What category do you think Pattinson was snuffed from?
For the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
Was it nominated for stuff? It was nominated for, like, a thing, right?
Oh, I don't remember. I thought it got completely snubbed.
It got sound design.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. For me, I think cinematography. I really enjoyed the cinematography of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily thinking of, like, I guess I don't really subscribe to the idea that the Oscars are the end-all be-all of, like, cinema.
Yeah, because that's fair.
I mean,
here we are.
I mean, like, we're talking about it because, like, you know, it's like, it's on the mind of everybody right now. And, yeah, I mean, like, if if we're going to have the system in place where the Oscars are the thing that, like, get people recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Angela Bassett. I'm rooting for Michelle Yeoh. I'm rooting for, like, certain movies, people, whatever. I think that the system is so flawed, though. Mm-hmm. I think that the Oscars are so flawed, and I think most award shows for creative fields
mm-hmm.
are flawed because inherently movies are subjective.
Yeah.
Because we can sit here all day and say, oh my gosh, the Batman is cinema. It is amazing. But right. all the people in the Oscars, they were like, no, it's not. Yeah. It's not part of this. Mm-hmm. But the Oscars also can turn around and be like, La La Land is, like, worthy of being nominated for the Oscars. This is a grudge that I've had for years. Yeah. That movie was so stupid. It was so plain and so dumb. Like, I don't understand how it got nominated for Oscars, but mm-hmm. whatever. I digress. I don't know. I think they're like, whatever. But if I were to say...
Yeah, like, if you were to play along with my little game, I pageantry of the Oscars. I don't care about them. They are, you know, they reflect a lot of very old things that no longer serve art and where we are in a culture right now.
I mean, if I'm thinking about it, like, I've honestly never thought about it. I really haven't. Mm. So I'm... Definitely would have deserved, like, sound design. Mm-hmm. I guess cinematography. Screenplay, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really sound script.
Right.
But I don't know. I've not really thought about it. Like, off the cuff, those are the kind of the things that I'm...
Yeah.
I don't remember what was, like, nominated for stuff last year. I remember the slap.
Yeah, I think that's all anyone remembers.
I don't usually watch it live anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just kind of am like, all right, I'll figure it out. If anything important happens, I can watch it later.
That's surprising. I thought you really cared.
I did used to care.
Oh.
I did used to care. I care more usually when I watch most of the movies.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch a lot of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm less invested because I'm like, I don't care if Tar wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not going to watch. I love Brendan Fraser. I love him. I'm not watching The Whale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything that I have heard about that movie is that mm-hmm. it is just like a horrific, fat phobic.
Oh, damn. Story. That's too bad. Right.
Yeah. So I'm good. I don't need to watch it. If I watch it, I'll, like, I'm not gonna say the word, but yeah, I'm not gonna pay for it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not gonna pay for it. So I don't know, but I think the Batman is cinema. I think that it is elevated to that because ultimately. It is, I can't really strip it of the Batman-ness of it being Batman, mm-hmm. but it is the story of a guy realizing his wrongs
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the day wanting to do better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is a very important story. And the way that they get there is through Batman,
mm-hmm.
but it is fantastic.
Right.
And then the last movie that I really think is elevated as well to cinema is Logan.
And this one was nominated. I don't remember for what.
I think it
but
had...
But it did get some nominations. And it was surprising for its genre, but people who knew and understood. And also it wasn't really labeled... an X-Men movie the way the others were, obviously. So that was a factor. But overall, it was just a very good movie.
I'm trying to, like, see Yeah. Who was nominated for things.
I thought it was a Golden Globe or an Oscar. Because those are the only two that do movies.
There was a canceled spinoff. Oh, they were trying to do something about Laura.
Right.
Which would have been cool, but... Damn. I don't see anything. It was not... Oh, yep. It was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay at the 90th Academy Awards. Becoming the first... Okay. Becoming the first live-action superhero film to be nominated for screenwriting.
Wow.
Yeah, which deserved. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about Logan, I think this is one of those movies where I don't think you could strip it of the sci-fi element.
Right.
But it didn't necessarily need to be, like, a Wolverine story. There's something, it, like, really, it because it's very, like, post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
I am realizing just now in this moment that it reminds me of The Last of Us.
Hmm, that tracks.
Just because it's, like, it's got that trope of, I don't want to be a dad, you're not my kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, you are my kid.
Yeah, I guess you aren't. You're mine now.
You're mine now. Even though in Logan it is literally like, no, that's your child. Like, your blood made that. So your DNA is in that thing. So that is, in fact, your child. But I think Logan is, again, I'm going to strip it down. I'm going to strip it down to its base, what it is about. It is about a guy who... feels lost in the world. He has no place. He's been alive for... He's so, like, done world with everything. Weary. He's world weary. He has lost all of his friends. He's lost everyone he's ever loved. He's only got this one decrepit, old, like, whatever... Like, a 98-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
That he's lugging around and is kind of a liability...
Mm-hmm.
But he still, like, feels some loyalty to him, like, and he gets thrown the whammy of, you have a child, and now you need to protect her.
Yeah.
And at its core, it is about Logan finding purpose again, finding love again, finding...
A reason family. Again.
Yeah, a reason again. And it was a wonderful goodbye to a character. But it was also so separate from anything else he'd ever done. Like, to compare Logan to the other X-Men movies is a disservice.
Yeah.
It is... beautifully shot, beautifully written. It is about just the relationship between him and Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And how the lengths you will go to protect the person that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just so good. It's so good. I need to rewatch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. It's truly... I think this is something that we've spoken about before of, like, I wish that all of the Marvel movies could be this good.
Yeah.
I think that almost all of them have the potential to reach this level. I mean, maybe not all of them. Let's be real. Not all of them have the level to have the potential to reach this level of cinema. And nor should they.
A lot of them, they just want to, like, my favorite... And we both agree that, like, Thor Ragnarok is incredible. It did not set out to be cinema. It set out to be a really good Marvel movie. And it succeeded in that. So I think a lot more Marvel movies could be elevated. But what do you think holds them back then?
I think
because my other question for you, I'll ask when you're done talking, because it kind of ties into this. So what do you think holds them back?
I think what holds him back is, I mean, we've spoken about this before. The majority of what holds a lot of the movies back is that they're playing to the same script.
Right.
That they're not, and I'm thinking about how, you know, we love Iron Man. We love Tony Stark. None of his movies are cinema, even though there are a lot of like themes of,
yeah, very deep emotional themes.
Deep emotional themes of legacy, of righting wrongs, of trying to do better today trauma. Than you were yesterday, mm-hmm. of trauma, of all of that stuff, right? But it's so... It's an Iron Man movie, first and foremost.
Right.
You know? I think what holds a lot of these movies back is being like... is the fact that it is exactly what it is. It's an Iron Man movie. It's a Captain mm-hmm. Marvel movie. It's an Ant-Man movie. It's a yeah. Thor movie. It's a this movie. We're taking it at face value, and we're not using these characters to tell a story any deeper than what we're giving. It's very shallow.
Right.
It's right. surface level. And I think that holds a lot of these movies back. And not to say that some of them don't yeah. get deep, like,
right.
Some of them do. Yeah. I obviously, like, the themes of Captain Marvel went over a lot of men's heads. Like, I think that Shang-Chi gets deep on, like, the themes of family there. I think
sins of my father.
Yeah. I think some of the movies do get very deep, but those emotions are not their driving factor.
Right. Okay. So then my question is, where do you think Captain America Winter Soldier fell?
I think Captain America Winter Soldier is a really good movie. Mm-hmm. Really good movie. It's not cinema.
Right.
I think it edges near film.
Right. Because that's what everyone, for a really long time, that was the agreed upon best MCU movie.
Yeah. And, like, I think, like, if it's still your favorite MCU movie, that's valid because it is amazing movie. And I think that was one of the last times that Marvel was, like, for one of the what felt like more run-of-the-mill movies,
mm-hmm.
was like really thinking about the details.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Winter Soldier was thinking about the details. That movie mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was really good. And like it felt like there was thought put into every single scene. But mm-hmm. I think, and I guess it's not to say that action movies can't be cinema, because I literally just talked about four different movies that are action movies and are cinema.
Right. We also have Top Gun in the running this year, which I don't know if that's an action movie. I'm just saying. We also have Top Gun in the running.
I've not seen Top Gun. Honestly, this is another topic for the podcast that I think we really do. I think we need to focus in on just discussing military propaganda and what is and is not military propaganda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because... you know, to a certain extent, yes, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is military propaganda.
Yeah.
I will not deny that. I will not deny that. But I was getting really mad at the people who are like, who would say Marvel's just military propaganda, and then they turn around and they see Top Gun 8 million times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, shit, I don't even know what I was saying before that. Obviously, I don't think that, like, being an action movie does not, like, negates you from being cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Captain America the Winter Soldier is just a really good action movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really, really, really good action movie. And it's, right. like, doing that thing that's really good about really good action movies of, like, actually having something to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the end of the day, that's kind of the only thing it's got going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's a really good action movie. And, like, yeah, at the center of the movie is this relationship between Bucky and Steve. Mm-hmm. And that is a driving force, but it's not the driving force.
Okay, that's fair. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then... I was going to say, the other thing we talked about when we were trying to brainstorm this episode is, like, Eternals... I did not like it, but I think we were talking about, like, aesthetically, it's the closest to, like, film in the cinema. Like, the other, you know, not counting Wakanda Forever, but, like, in recent times. And that's just because the directorial eye of, oh my god. I was going to say Chloe Zhao. I don't think that's it.
That is it.
That is it? Okay.
Yeah, Chloe Zhao.
Oh, thank god. But that is more to the director's eye when everything else in the movie fell kind of flat.
Yes. And I think that comes from having not a great script.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to love Eternals. I wanted to love it so much. And there are a few other movies in the MCU that I'm like... I wanted to love you. I wanted to, like, really freaking love this movie. Because I was so excited for... I was so excited for Eternals.
Yeah, you can listen to our trailer spec. I think we were both really looking forward to this movie.
Yeah. But ultimately, I think that it was kind of a letdown. But I think part of that... Ensemble movies are hard. You know?
Ensemble origin movies are hard.
Yeah. So I think that was definitely part of it. I don't know. It was I think it was a good movie. I think it's definitely rewatchable. I think it's very, like, it is very beautifully shot. I still think that one sex scene was, like, really random. Not even random, so just misplaced. Should have been put somewhere else in the movie.
Somewhere else in the movie. There was a clear place it should have gone.
Yeah, and we discussed that if you want to listen to our Eternals episode. But it just didn't reach the heights that I wanted it to. And, like, Chloe Zhao is an Oscar, an Oscar-winning director.
Right, and you see it. You can absolutely see it.
You definitely see it. But I think just the Marvelness of it got in the way.
Which is a bummer. And then my last question... Because this is, again, a movie I haven't seen this entire franchise, but I feel like we should discuss it if we're talking about superhero movies and the Oscars. You have not mentioned Dark Knight Rising, the one that won the Oscar.
The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. That was Heath Ledger's?
Heath Ledger won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, posthumously. And for some reason,
I thought the movie won as well.
No.
Okay, never mind. Then maybe that's just my own confusion.
No, I don't think the movie, like, Best Picture? No.
No, not Picture, but, like, it won for something on its own.
No, I think only Heath Ledger was nominated for that.
Oh, okay.
For Best Supporting Actor in a role.
Right. And that was because of his dedication. Like, again, I haven't seen the trilogy. I do know the level of dedication that Heath Ledger committed to this role.
Yes. I think that the Dark Knight, the Batman trilogy, the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy deserves, like, a honorable mention. But I would agree that the only, like, Oscar-worthy thing in that it was Heath Ledger's performance.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it's, you know, asterisk honorable mention. I think Heath Ledger's performance was phenomenal. It is really, 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 really hard to compare other people's performances of Joker to him. Because what he was able to accomplish was something that I don't think any other has been able to replicate. And I haven't watched Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, so I can't really say. Oh, that shit got nominated for stuff.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, Joker got nominated for stuff the year Parasite was nominated for stuff. Because I remember people being angry. Well, I'm not people. The man babies were upset that Joker
lost to Parasite. Dude, I forgot that movie existed just because that was the same year as Parasite.
Yeah. That's a movie that we could do for the podcast. But
am I going to watch Joker?
We still haven't done the Batman trilogy. Listen, we're going to be watching the Joker sequel because Lady Gaga is playing Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's going to be a musical, apparently, so I got to watch that.
That's fair.
With or without the podcast, I'm watching it, but I feel like I'm going to want to talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, I haven't... I can't really talk to Joker and if that was...
How that ranked, where that fell.
Or... cinematic mm-hmm. or cinema, because I'm not going to talk about a movie I've never seen. But yeah, I think that the Christopher Nolan trilogy has an honorable mention.
Right. It made its place in history, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that trilogy really opened the door mm-hmm. for the MCU.
Right.
And I mean that wholeheartedly. Makes sense. I think it was the first time that people could see profit in those kinds of movies.
Right. People could take them seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time, Christopher Nolan was a big, not a big, I think, like, he was doing Batman
mm-hmm.
to be able to throw his weight around later.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. he does Batman, then he does Inception.
Right.
And then he does something like Tenet. Like, it's clear that Batman wasn't the thing that he wanted to do. Batman was the thing that got him to the thing that he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's also clear in his characterization of Bruce Wayne, but yes. Mm-hmm. But that's another, that's for another time. But yeah, I like those movies. I think they're a huge part of why I mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. the genre nowadays.
Right.
But I don't know if I would necessarily elevate the trilogy or even just The Dark Knight to cinema.
Okay.
I feel like I did most of the talking this episode.
Well, I don't remember the movie. Like, I don't know. I don't have as, like, strong opinions, even though I have seen them all, and I agree, mm-hmm. and I agreed with what a lot you said, but I don't have a lot of strong movie opinions, you know? Like, I also agree that the Oscars are rigged and very ist and phobic and, you know, all of the things that happen when you're an old institution founded in America.
Just throw it away.
That gets to define the culture. But I do love the pageantry. And the Oscars mean something to its winners. Like, if Angela Bassett wins, the Oscars are valid.
That means something.
This is perfect. That means something. And they mean something to that person, and it is validating. And unfortunately, just on a capitalistic scale, it means something to producers and studios and so on and so forth. It's the same category. But, like, if Stephanie Soo wins, she's going to get so many more opportunities. Which is really big and important for her. So I'm not mm-hmm. going to deny that these don't mean... The Oscars mean something. We'll just end with that.
I just think that the institution should be thrown out. But I think a lot of institutions should just be thrown out, so...
Yeah. It does not define culture, but they mean something.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Ruka. And you can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. And you can email us at emfangirls@gmail.com. You know, if you have other movies that you were like, no, you missed this, it was cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, like, tell us.
Yeah.
Let us know. I want to hear about it. I'll watch a movie. Oh, I think I forgot to like mention Birdman, but I don't remember that movie well enough to really talk about it.
I guess it was technically a superhero movie, wasn't it?
But it's like, it's really a commentary on
Yeah, it's not franchise superhero.
Yeah. It's like, it's separate. It's, yeah. But yeah, we're on those platforms. Also, you can't really follow me on Twitter right now because I'm privated, but yes. And you can follow us on Tumblr, earthsmicefangirls.tumblr.com. Not that we really use the website, but it's there. And we're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all those places. So it would be lovely if you would rate us, review us, listen to us. It would really help us out. And my TikTok is @somefangirl.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.